Welcome to the Perspectives on Healthcare podcast, where members of the medical community from different roles, venues, and locations share their unique perspectives on quality healthcare, its future, and how to improve it. Now, from the Your Keynote Speaker studio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, here is your host, Rob Oliver.
Thank you and welcome. My guest today is Tina Baxter. She is a nurse practitioner. She is from the beautiful state of Indiana. And I was telling her before we came on the air that Indiana is a state that we have not had represented yet. And I am glad to be able to check another geographic location off of the bucket list. She is a member of Generation X, and I am delighted to welcome her. Tina, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, and I'm happy to represent the Hoosier State.
You bet. So tell me a little bit about yourself and your role in healthcare, please.
I am a nurse practitioner. I've been a registered nurse for many years now, and I became a nurse practitioner about 16, 17 years ago. My specialty is geriatrics, but my first love and entry into nursing was in the field of mental health and psychiatry. So I've had a long career in education, management, in entrepreneurship, private practice, hospital, you name it. I've done it.
Nice. And yet you still have a youthful genre or ambiance, I think is the word I was looking for. It's going to get, I almost said genre, and that's not, ambiance is the word that we're going with. So, okay. So tell me a little bit about your journey from being a nurse to, if I understood what you said properly, you started as a nurse and then became a nurse practitioner. What was that journey like for you?
Well, actually, if you want to get technical, I started as a volunteer.
Okay.
I volunteered in the nursing home as a child. And then I was a junior nurse at church, which means if you're in that church culture, you grew up, you were trained to do things like CPR and first aid to assist persons in the church. So it was like a parish nursing program. I went from that to working in the lab in high school through an internship program, with the idea that I was going to go on to medical school. And so when I got to college, I thought about going to medical school. I was pre-med, have a degree in biology, took the MCAT twice, and just couldn't pull the trigger. I really discovered that's not what I wanted to do. So I got a job working as a CNA in a nursing home, trying to figure out my life after my parents paid for 5 years at a very expensive private Christian college. And I saw what the nurses did. And I thought, I could do that. So I became a registered nurse. I got my second degree, my bachelor's in nursing science. And then from there, fell in love with the profession and know that this is where I was always meant to be. So fast forward, I'm working in management at the bedside, at the hospital, in psychiatry. And I thought, I think there's something more that I want to do. And so I applied and ended up in graduate school and fell in love with geriatrics. So I went back to my first love, actually, because I always love working with older adults.
Sure.
And so I really wanted to do that, but I also had a passion for education. So I got my master's in education and my postmaster's as a nurse practitioner.
Okay, so it sounds to me like you spent about half your life in school and getting one degree or another, but all of them relevant to what you were passionate about and in some ways moving you in the direction where you are today. I'm just curious about this because so many people get into the profession because they've got a connection. What was it that gave you the desire to be a volunteer, to get into the junior nurses program at church? Did you have a personal connection there, or was it just your personality, or what was it that drew you?
Well, I'd always been a science geek, so I've always been interested in science.
Okay.
But my mom was actually, this is how it works. Wherever my mom works or volunteers, that's how you volunteer. So my mom was a church nurse. She's not a registered nurse by background, but she took CPR and I saw her perform CPR in action. And I remember that growing up. There was somebody at church that had a heart attack right there. And she was one of the few people that knew CPR. Right. And so I always thought that that was very important to know and to learn. And that's kind of how I got introduced. And then I have cousins that are physicians. And I spent 2 weeks with my cousin in his OBGYN practice. And that's when I knew I was not cut out for OB. But I spent 2 weeks with him and it was a good learning experience. And what I learned, which is why I made the transition from medicine to nursing, was I saw lifestyle. Hmm. And I saw he had all the money, all the great toys, but never got to play with them. Hmm. And I thought, I don't want to live that lifestyle. I don't want to be on call 24/7. Nobody tells you, though, that when you go into nursing and become the nurse manager, that's exactly what happens. But I digress. Yeah. But it was a lifestyle decision for me.
Got it. Okay. So what does quality healthcare mean to you?
When I think about quality, I think of giving the person the best achievable outcome.
Okay.
So we're not, you know, a lot of times we focus on the cost of things and how much it costs in healthcare, but I look at, does it improve or enhance your life?
Okay.
And if it doesn't, that's something worthwhile doing and pursuing. If it doesn't, then why would we do that? I worked in hospice and palliative care. So I look at it from a perspective of, is this going to make your life better? You may get a prolonged life, but are you going to be suffering longer and more pain, et cetera? So I work with the individual to make the informed decision that's best for them. And sometimes that's individual. That's very, it's always individual, actually.
Interesting. It's, you're talking about quality of life as opposed to quantity of life. So you may be able to extend someone's life, but if they're, you know, they're in pain and they're suffering and there may be an element of which the quality of life that they're receiving is less than what they would desire. Am I properly understanding that or framing that?
Yes. So my philosophy is if you want to have quality health and quality health care, it is to help the individual live a life that they would want to and to be fulfilled. And so I think sometimes we fear death and things that happen naturally, and we don't let nature take its course. And sometimes that there is a grace to that natural death. Now, am I saying that I want someone to die? No. But I also support the fact that maybe you don't want to go through chemotherapy treatments, and we have to be okay with that. And as a practitioner, sometimes that's hard, right? Because we're trying to fix the thing. We want to make you better.
Right.
But is our making you better on our terms or on your terms? So when I think of quality healthcare, I think of healthcare that is timely, that is patient-centered and patient-focused, that takes into the account of all the needs of the individual and their families. And maybe that is something that they want to pursue. I had an older gentleman that he had survived colon cancer and prostate cancer and ended with breast cancer. And I asked him, well, what do you want to do? And he said, I want to continue to fight this. I said, well, we're going to continue to fight with you.
Right.
So I want them to be involved. And that, to me, that's quality healthcare, where the person that it's affecting, the patient, is at the center. And I think too many times the focus has been taken away from that.
Okay. And it's interesting. I joke with my kids about this. You know, we talk about someone recently lived to be like 102 and my kids were kind of like, who wants to live to be 102? And my response was, everybody who's 101. But you've got to look at it from an individual basis, which is what you've said, that the individual themselves is the one who is making the decisions. And it's not to please the medical community, and it's not to make the medical community feel good because they were able to beat a certain diagnosis, but it's to... how do we, as you said, help the person to live the life that they want to live and make their own decisions? So excellent. Okay. Can you give me an example of quality healthcare?
I'll give you an example that I have. We had a family, and this is, again, coming from my hospice background, but I had a family, and they were in hospice. And the patient, the resident, I had to be the one to tell him that his cancer had spread and that basically this was coming to the end. He was already in hospice, but he had been previously diagnosed with colon cancer, but he never actually did anything about it. He was a recovering alcoholic and he stopped drinking. And I had had previous experience with it. And so I just sat down with him, with the nurse, and I explained to him that what his prognosis was and that this was going to kill him. And fairly soon, because of how advanced it was, it spread pretty much everywhere. And so we had that hard conversation with him. And so he asked us to bring his sister in, who they were estranged because of his background. And his sister would come to visit, and they hadn't talked in years, and she would sit there, and he really wouldn't look at her, really didn't talk to her. And she would wait for about 30 minutes or so and leave. Well, she told the hospice nurse, well, I really don't think I want to come back because he just doesn't talk to me. So I went in and talked to him. And I said, hey, your sister says, you know, you're not talking to her. She's afraid to come back to see you. She's not sure if she's helping. He says, she is helping. I don't know what to say to her. We haven't talked in years. I just want her to be here. And so when I explained that to her, she said, okay, I'm going to come back. And it was that act of bringing those two together that it broke the ice. They were able to have a conversation. And based on that conversation, he got his final wish before he passed, which with this hospice company, they brought his entire family together and had a family reunion for him in a local park. Mm-hmm. So he got to say goodbye to all of his family members, to make atonements for whatever they had because of his substance abuse. And he was able to have a good outcome. Now, are you going to say that we treated his pain, we kept him comfortable, we did all the things that we could do. But to me, that was quality healthcare, because I met the need of the patient at the time, and it didn't involve me giving him more medicine, which we did eventually. It was listening to his heart and understanding what he needed to heal him at that time. And that was to be reconnected to his family.
Okay. I want to reiterate what you just said. The man passed away from cancer, mm-hmm. but you said it was a successful outcome because it allowed him to restore relationships. And it allowed him to make the connections that he had wanted to for many years. And in that way, it was successful based on what the patient wanted, not necessarily from a medical perspective. He lost the battle with cancer, so to speak, but he had a successful outcome because it matched what he wanted. Very profound. And Tina, thank you for sharing that story. What do you wish people understood about your role in healthcare?
I think a lot of times people, particularly, I'm just going to speak from a nurse practitioner perspective, because you have the two camps, the camps that want to say you're just a nurse, right? And then you have the camp that really understands your role as a nurse practitioner. And, you know, people often describe it as, oh, you're just a step below the doctor. Yeah, yes and no, because what we do is, yes, we can prescribe medication. Yes, we can do treatments. We can do some of the things that doctors can do, but our practice is different. And that's important. We're not, I hate the fact that we put everything on a hierarchy that, you know, oh, being a doctor is much better, because I have doctors in my family and I understand what they go through too. I work with physicians, but I think the uniqueness that we bring is that we marry that nursing and medicine together as a nurse practitioner. And so I can speak to both sides. And so I like to tell them, well, I think of me as like your neutral ground person, right? So I'm in between the staff nurse that's making you get out of bed and do your therapy and all that kind of stuff, right? And I'm between the doctor who, you know, tells you all the stuff that he needs to do. I can help explain the whys of both worlds. And so because I walk that line between both and my role kind of overlaps both in some ways, I can help be a better advocate for the patient and explain what's happening to them on both ends of the spectrum and why this is important, of why we have to get you up right after your surgery to get you to walking around. It's because we want you, your circulation to get better. We want to prevent pneumonia. We want to prevent blood clots. We want your bowels to be able to move, all those different things that we want for your recovery to be better. But then also from the standpoint of this is why we have to take you back into surgery, because the physician sees this. And this is what this means and how it's going to impact what you do. So I love this role because I can be such a great educator and advocate for the patient and to understand both sides of what's happening. And then also enter into that experience with the patient. Oftentimes as a nurse practitioner, I get the luxury of having a little bit more time with the patient so I can explain things a lot better. And I do a lot of education. Because, again, I want you to make an informed decision about your own body and your health care. And I try to make sure I take the time to do that and explain why we have the treatment plans in place and why it's in your best interest to do or not do a certain thing. And it's up to you to ultimately make that decision.
Kim, and let me just throw one other wrinkle in there. And that is, I feel like a nurse practitioner brings the nursing perspective, and the nursing perspective is more hands-on, it's more empathetic, and it's more, it takes a little bit more time with the patient than what you typically see with a doctor. Is that accurate, or am I kind of reading too much into it?
Yes, because here's the thing, and I, you know, when I was growing up, and I'm going to date myself again here, when I was growing up, well, who I wanted to be was Quincy, okay? I loved it. I love that show. I wanted to be the guy that go in there and figure out what happened to the person and all of this. And what I saw, you know, on a lot of those medical shows is that the doctors, they're holding their hands and doing all the things that really typically the nurses do, right? And so I do have a little bit of pet peeve with some of these modern medical shows because it's like the nurses are invisible. And so I'm watching and, you know, unfortunately, what's happened in medicine is we've kind of taken that piece away from the doctors. We're making it to where they have to see so many patients so quickly and get through. It's almost like a turnstile, you know, just next. And so because of that, they don't have that chance a lot of times if they're working in corporate medicine to sit down and do that. Now, they haven't yet come after the NPs. They kind of let us be a little bit slower so we can kind of take that time and do some of those things that oftentimes the physicians just don't have time to do. And that's unfortunate for them. And I know my physician colleagues have talked about this, how corporate medicine is really taking them away from the bedside more than they would like.
Right.
Okay. And so there's a very big pushback against that.
Got it. Well, we've got 2 minutes and we've got two questions. So, sure. What excites you about the future of healthcare?
The possibilities. I'm a big science nerd, as I said. One of my favorite shows was Star Trek. And I'm looking forward to the day when we have the tricorder. We can just figure out what's wrong with you at a button. We can press you with a hypo spray and give you your medication. I'm looking forward to the things that we can do with technology and innovation.
Okay. It's funny, you know, we have automobiles and you can plug in a diagnostic tool and it spits out an error code and you know what you're supposed to do with it. And if we can get to that point with humans, how amazing would that be? All right. Last question for you. What is one thing medical professionals can start doing today to improve the quality of healthcare?
I'm going to say, I think as healthcare professionals, we can own our voice. We need to be involved in our everyday political system. We need to lend our voice there. We need to lend our voice in our hospital administrations. We need to come on and tell people what it's really like in healthcare. Nurses are still the number one most trusted profession on the Gallup poll for the last 20 plus years. And I think that we need to listen and hear more from the people that are actually out there with boots on the ground. COVID has taught us a lot. And one of the things it's taught us is that there are flaws in our system. So how do we go about addressing those flaws? That's the key part. And that's being participants and lending our voice.
Well said. And I think it's great. What I'm hearing you basically say is get involved in the system and improving the system and helping to move the system into a better place as we move forward and as you serve patients. So what a great way to wrap up our time together. Tina, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you taking the time and I respect your perspective on healthcare.
Thanks for listening to Perspectives on Healthcare. Visit perspectivesonhealthcare.com to learn more about Rob Oliver or to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If this podcast was valuable, we'd appreciate a review on iTunes. Or if you tell a friend or coworker about the show, that would be helpful too. Join us again next time for more Perspectives on Healthcare.